Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. In most any chain bookstore and probably some larger independent-owned bookstores, there can be found a series of educational books entitled Blank for Dummies. And the blank is filled in with the subject about which a person wishes to learn. The series involves numerous subjects. If you've ever looked at them, it's over 2,500 titles in that dummy series. Anything from pet photography to ADHD to guitars to the Bible to iPods to ballroom dancing. It would press you probably to think of a subject that did not have one of those dummies books dedicated to it. Each book provides a crash course in the chosen subject at a basic level. And today I want us to take a crash course on faith. The course is entitled Faith for Dummies. Now, I truly believe that we are all in the same predicament together. All of us are dummies, so to speak, when it comes to understanding true faith. In our minds, we possess all the answers, yet in reality, we are woefully lacking. We often miss the mark. Faith is one of the subjects covered by Jesus' brother James in his letter to Christians in general. And in the book of James, James teaches the concept of faith through practical living. That's one of the subjects that he covers. Faith without practical application is not faith. Think about that. Faith without practical application is not faith. It's merely knowledge. And today our goal is to learn the connection between the faith in our heart and the actions of our life. And our text is from the book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Although we'll look at other parts of that chapter, I want us to look now at James, chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. What good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." May God add His blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. James is saying, as an overall concept in this text, that genuine faith is demonstrated by action. For many of us, faith is merely an intellectual exercise. We think of faith as being a belief or knowledge in our hearts and our minds. But many of us fail to realize that true faith is displayed in actions. Faith is not about words. We can say all the correct things. We can have the platitudes down pat, and we can even quote scripture. But if there is no evidence of what we say demonstrated in our lives by our actions, then our words are meaningless. How does a warm greeting help someone who is cold and hungry? It should be obvious that God talk without God actions is merely nonsensical. Only when our words are translated into action does our faith become real. Becomes real to us and becomes real to those who see us. And see us, so to speak, in action. The Christian faith is not lived by talking the talk. The Christian faith is lived by walking the walk. We read in 1 John 3:18, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with our actions and in truth." Faith is made alive in real action towards real people. As James said, for instance, we meet an old friend in rags and half starved, and we may say to him, "Good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit." And then we go on our way, not offering a coat or even a cup of soup or a cup of coffee. What have we accomplished when we do that? Faith in action is not for religious ritual. It is for following God's law of love. If we say we have faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but we don't act like it, is our faith genuine? Do we appear to be Christians of faith to those who see us and see our lack of actions? One of the problems in church life today is people are caught up in what they know and not what they do. Remember, our words do not create our relationship with God, yet they do reflect that relationship. And as a Christian, we are called to love others by our action and not by simply believing we should love others. Sure, we can say, "Oh, we're followers of Christ and we have faith in Him as our Lord and Savior. We love people." And then we turn around and walk away. We turn our backs on those in need. We turn our backs on those who are hurting physically, those who are hurting emotionally. We don't do anything. We don't take any action toward alleviating their pain. Have we shown that we have a genuine faith? We try so hard to impress people who do not have faith with our intellect of faith. And some people have a distorted view of faith. They're caught up in the mental and emotional side of faith, and they do not wish to be involved in living out the day-to-day issues of life by acts of faith. Now, we must be mindful. We must be careful to not forget that the words of our life, the works of our life, do not rescue us from sin. Our works are a result of having been rescued from sin. So heed this warning. We cannot restore a relationship with God by acts. Remember the admonition that Paul gave us, and he wrote it to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 2:8-10. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Our relationship with God is based solely upon our response to Jesus and to the offer He made when He walked this earth. The actions of our lives are changed because of what Jesus has done for us. And the basis of our faith is trust in Jesus to forgive us and cleanse us from our sin. And if we demonstrate that faith and not just give lip service to it, others will see how Jesus has changed us, how our actions have changed once we became a believer and a follower of Christ. Not just the words we spout, but the acts that we take on a daily basis are different once Jesus comes into our life and we have faith in Him. The author of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." In other words, faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for will happen, and it is the evidence of what we cannot yet see. But we act on that faith. We don't just give lip service to it. We devise a plan as a body of believers. And we don't sit back and say, "Oh, what a wonderful plan we devised because of our faith in Jesus." We implement that plan. We do what it's necessary, whether it's building a family life center, whether it's having a visitation ministry, whether it's doing Bible study. We don't just say, "Oh, we have faith that God will lead us to reach out to others," and then sit down and wait for the others to come. We implement plans. We take action based on that faith, knowing that God, if it's God's will, if it's a God-driven proposal, if it's a God-driven ministry, that He will allow us to do the acts necessary to show others our true faith. Genuine faith is not just about knowing the facts. Genuine faith is deeper than what we know. In chapter 2 of James, if you look at verse 19, which was not a part of our major text, we find that James states it's good for us to say that we believe in God. But then we sit back complacently as if we'd done some great act, some great deed. And what does he say? Even the demons say that. Even the demons say they believe in one God. And of what benefit has that belief been to them? A belief and knowing there's only one God is not going to save the demons, and it's not going to save us. If we have faith in God as being one God, as sending His Son and offering us the gift of salvation, we must act upon that. It's not simply knowing. The danger is we can possess all the knowledge of the Scriptures but never apply it to our lives. And when we do that, such conduct is nothing but pride and self-deception. We pride ourselves on spouting the Scripture, but we deceive ourselves when we think that that gives us a standing with God, which will lead to eternal life. While knowledge may make us feel more important, it is love which really brings the church together and builds it up. Knowledge is not what a changed life is all about. Jesus calls us to focus on the actions which flows from our knowledge. What do we do once we possess this knowledge? You know, it's sort of like putting the bushel over the candle, hiding our light. If we have faith, if we know God's word, if we believe in Him, then we need to demonstrate that faith by what we do. Remember, John insisted for us to just not say we love each other, but to demonstrate we love each other through our actions. The bottom line, I think, in James is, as far as faith is, that genuine faith results in action. In the remainder of this chapter 2, verses 20 through 25, James admonishes us to use our heads, to use our minds. He wonders if we believe for a minute that we can separate faith and works and not end up with a corpse. Was not Abraham considered righteous by God for the act of placing his son Isaac on the sacrificial altar? Is it not obvious that faith and works are yoked partners? Faith expresses itself in works, and works are acts of faith. James 2:23 states, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous. The full meaning of believed in that sentence includes Abraham's action of placing Isaac on the altar. It is the mesh of believing, an act in which earned Abraham the title God's friend. Abraham could have said, till the day he died, I believe in you, Lord. I have faith in you, Lord. But if he never placed Isaac on the altar, he would never have demonstrated that he had genuine faith. We can say all we want to, yeah, I trust that bungee cord. I would jump, you know. Well, go ahead then. If you got faith in the bungee cord, go ahead and jump. That's maybe not a real biblical analogy, but you get the point that I'm saying. Abraham had to place Isaac on that altar before we could read about it and say, yes, he demonstrated a genuine faith. Is it not evident a person is made right with God not by barren faith, but by faith fruitful with works? The same was true of Rahab, the Jericho prostitute. Was not her action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape the seamless unity of believing and doing what God wanted her to do, what mattered with God? Abraham had to put into action his faith in God. When God called him to sacrifice his only son, Abraham had to actually place Isaac on the altar to demonstrate his faith. When Rahab protected the spies, she had to put herself in danger to demonstrate her faith. Genuine faith in God allowed them to carry out their actions, allowed them to be examples to us of someone who possessed a genuine faith. And the same is true with us. In order for others to look at us and say, there goes a man or woman of faith, there goes a true believer, we have to demonstrate that fact when the opportunity presents itself. It's so easy for us to say we are a man or woman of faith and then go home and shut the door and nobody sees us demonstrate that faith. Faith without action is dead. The very moment we separate body and spirit, we have a corpse. And likewise, when we separate faith and works, we achieve the same results. We have a corpse. So the question is this morning, is your faith resulting in action in your life? Action that reflects your faith in God? If not, you need to get right with God. You need to say, Lord, please forgive me. I do believe in you. I do possess a genuine faith. Tell me what I need to do to demonstrate that to you and to others who see me. And if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to express that faith you have in Him as Lord and Savior, you want to accept that gift of salvation, we invite you to come forward as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 243, Sweet, Sweet Spirit.